Did you do it, Lamb? Did you leave a 5-star rating and a nice little review wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast? It really helps us out, and it helps other lambs connect with us, especially in Lebanon and Romania, apparently. Look, I know, we're asking a lot, but it is what it is.
All you do is scroll down. You just scroll down on the main page. 5 stars. Easy.
This week on the Me and Mariah podcast, we're going to do a little top 20 countdown, like you probably remember on VH1 every Sunday morning. Except this is a countdown of Mariah's singles that failed to chart on the Billboard Hot 100. Even though Mariah is the first artist ever in the history of sound to have their first 5 singles go to number 1. So we've arranged them in order from my least favorite to favorite.
Oh, I didn't realize it was an order from least to most. Interesting.
So first, let's talk about the new song, Fall in Love at Christmas.
I couldn't really tell what she was saying, but my only response when I messaged you was like, is she saying Christ?
Okay.
Like over and over again?
Grace.
Oh, I thought it was a super religious Christmas song.
Yeah, I did too. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. But I hope that her next like non-Christmas song has like a similar feel. It's almost like Kiss the Girl from The Little Mermaid, but like holiday vibe.
She was trying to be chill, huh? Like her little outfit was super cash and like...
She looks really cute in the video. And I think that we as a whole can agree that she got her 2013 Good Morning America performance hair. I'm glad she pulled that wig out of storage. When would you say is the right time to start decorating and getting festive?
I don't really have strong opinions. I feel like everyone has like a different love for Christmas or the holidays, like whatever they celebrate. So like, I don't really care what you do as long as you're not encroaching on my peace. Well, and I worked in retail for a long time. Oof. And that's, I think, like where my disdain for Christmas music started. So I don't want to hear Christmas music personally until December.
Trust me, I know it's too early for Christmas. I keep telling everyone we have to wait until Thanksgiving to really start festivating. But then again, when am I not festive?
Mine is December 4th.
Oh.
Well, because of my birthday.
After your birthday.
Yeah. Like, my family always waited till the 4th to, like, decorate.
It's that,
like,
makes sense.
Yeah, it's like people who don't want their foods to touch. I don't want my holidays to mix. And then you get 3 full weeks to celebrate and be festive for Christmas. You take it all down on December 26th, and then you got 5 days to prepare for a new year, new you, you know?
I feel like a lot of people leave holiday decorations up through the new year.
Not me. I can't.
I honestly barely decorate. I do like the bare minimum. Anyway.
Well, Mariah's released 86 official singles and then another 20-something promo singles. I don't know what the difference really is there, but I do know that that's more than 3 for every year of my life. Catalog.
So 20, whatever the promo singles were on top of the 80-something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
And with that being said, us only being able to make a list of like 25 songs that didn't make the Hot 100 is pretty amazing. And I did the math, and that means only 23% of her songs don't chart.
Wow, I love that little stat.
Right? And comparable to other artists in her carpool, like Madonna's 28% of her singles don't chart, and Britney's at 27%.
Wow, you did your homework.
I know. And now to start our little countdown off, we have a tie. So number 20 is actually going to be 5 songs that fell short of the charts. I Stay in Love, Hate You, Angels Cry, 100%, and of course, With You. Now let me just say this. The video for I Stay in Love, it's a great concept. The whole Vegas showgirls leaving Las Vegas, I dig it, but it's not right for this song at all.
I thought it was, honestly, the song was pretty generic. She also kind of sounds bored.
Very.
She sounds bored.
Yeah.
So I get why it didn't chart. People don't want to feel bored if she's bored.
The same thing with You. I feel like that's the same kind of vibe. Boring.
I said the same thing. I was like, it seems standard. I do like her backup and front vocal mix, like how she's like...
I love when she does that.
I think that's kind of fun, but again, kind of boring.
There's cute looks in the video, though, for that one. I don't even want to go into the Hate You video, though.
Wait, I actually liked Hate You.
You did?
I did like it. I liked the beat of it, the little whisper voice. I just loved it, honestly. Okay. So I can't believe that was in your bottom.
Yeah, all of those songs I have a problem with.
I liked Hate You. I would put that on, like, a driving mix.
Okay.
Yeah, like, that's the vibe for me.
100% was a whole fiasco.
Like, was it on your playlist you made me?
It originally was supposed to be on the Precious soundtrack, and then it got changed to be a song for the 2010 Olympics. And then The album that it was, like, supposed to be a single for got completely canceled, Angel's Advocate, if you remember Lambs. And then the other song in our number 20 spot, Angel's Cry, it's from that same era also. No shade, but I do understand why these songs didn't chart. They don't deserve it. They shouldn't have even been released as singles, in my opinion. Lightning don't strike the same place twice. When you and I
said goodbye, I thought the angels cry. I thought Angel's Cry was a little cheesy. It gave me like a little bit of a I Believe I Can Fly vibe, and it just didn't do her justice.
Well, number 19 is Infamous. This song only exists because of Mariah's guest spot on Empire, which I didn't watch. I've never watched that show. It's a duet with the actor who faked a hate crime. Remember that? He said Trump supporters beat his ass and called him a faggot.
Right.
Turns out he made the whole thing up and hired two extras from the show to jump him.
Right.
I mean, I hate Trump and the QAnon people just as much as the next sane person, but like, come on.
That was a little much.
Yeah, it feels like it was so long ago, but apparently it's still ongoing. They had dropped the charge, which was like a felony for filing a false police report, but a judge denied the dismissal and the trial is supposed to start in a couple weeks.
What?
Yeah,
or at least like... Seems so long ago,
I know.
So Infamous, I could feel a little bit of a Miguel, like, essence, and I really like Miguel, so I do like this song. It's okay.
Okay. I didn't hate it, but it's number 19.
So you didn't like it.
So number 18 is Almost Home. This song was for the soundtrack for the Wizard of Oz movie from like 8 years ago, Great and Powerful. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, Mariah did this song strictly for the coins. She never liked it. She got credit for writing it, but in her interview with Pitchfork while promoting Caution, she said that she did not write it. She said it didn't feel like her, but Disney wanted her to do it. And I don't know what her obligation to Disney would have been, but whatever, hey.
That doesn't... Oh, well, for the Oz movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But she's not in it, so why is she...
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, a little bit more upbeat and fun, like a dance beat, but it's still too much of, like, that inspiring music, like, feeling that she really leans into. It was just okay.
Very adult contemporary radio song that you...
Yeah, turn that station.
Number 17, The Art of Letting Go. Now, we already did a whole episode on this song. So, go ahead and look back at that. I think in that episode, I said that it was my least favorite Mariah song, but... I mean, I just found 7 songs that I like less than The Art of Letting Go, so I'm owning it. I've proven myself wrong, and for that, I am sorry to myself. It ain't easy, baby.
This one was, like, okay for me. I thought it was, like, more of a powerful song. It did it a little bit more than her other inspiring songs on this list so far. And, like, I think I pointed out in that episode, like, her word choice is really fun in this. Yeah. Like, the exceedingly hurtful. Just the word choice alone is worth listening to.
Press delete. That's my line. Number 16, Right to Dream. We did talk a little bit about this song last week. It's in Tennessee. Mariah wrote it through the eyes of her character, Crystal, as she would. She wrote it with Willie Nelson, and it would have been nice to get some visuals of them together. Maybe it would have at least charted if they were, like, both trying to promote it. This is way less Mariah than Almost Home, but it's a slightly better song, in my opinion. I like that, like, genre change-up. I don't need it again, but I'm glad we got a country-inspired Mariah moment.
Yeah, it made me cry in the movie, so obviously it's an emotional one for me.
And the number 15 spot on our countdown of Mariah singles that did not make it on the Billboard Hot 100 chart goes to Save the Day. Now, I'm a little taken aback as to why I've given it such a high ranking. I made the order yesterday, so I'm a whole new man since then, and this doesn't feel right here. It should have been back there with Infamous and Almost Home. Well, first of all, it's misleading because it's advertised that it features Lauryn Hill. Now, let me just say this. A small itty-bitty sample of a vocal from Killing Me Softly does not a feature make Mariah. Just the oohs and the ahs and the woo-oohs.
I did notice that too.
That's not fair.
I did like this one, though. Anything with Lauryn Hill, I'm there. So,
I
thought,
like,
why didn't this make it? I thought it was, okay, yes, they should have done something.
Current?
Yeah, they should have done something current and really, like, collaborated. She holds herself to that standard with most songs.
Right.
But I heard Lauryn Hill before I saw her name, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to add this one to one of my playlists.
Okay. You know, this song was already scrapped once. It was in the original track list for The Art of Letting Go, and that's exactly what they should have done, Let It Go.
Oh.
Like, no need for her to pull this one back out of the grave for the rarities. That's why we have it, because it came out on her, like, rarities collection of songs that she had in her vault. And I don't know how many of the lambs are with me on that, but clearly they weren't buying it, streaming it, or doing the TikTok dance, because it didn't chart. So you can blame yourself, anyone out there willing to die on that Save the Day hill. Number 14, Never Too Far, The Ballad of Glitter. It's pretty clear why this one didn't chart. Not only the fail of Glitter, but just like the vibe of the whole country at the time. She did re-release it as a medley with her older song Hero, and that version charted at number 81, but just the original Never Too Far peaked at number 5 on the Bubbling Under chart, which I believe is like an extension of the Hot 100.
Hmm.
So it was like she was number 105.
Oh, she was so close.
Yeah.
I actually love this one. I think, again, it's that, like, good kind of inspiring song. It does get there. Her belts are amazing. Like,
oh,
I
really
love
are.
When she just lets it go. And, like, her whispers, I get sick of pretty quickly, honestly. Her belts, I can see such talent, and I like to hear it. But I can also kind of see why it wasn't a hit, if that makes sense. It just doesn't feel unique enough, maybe.
Yeah.
Or it just feels like it could have been 10 of her other songs that did make it.
I agree. Number 13, Triumphant. But I just call it Get 'em. It was her first attempt at a release after being pregnant. It was supposed to be the first single of the album that 2 years later would become The Art of Letting Go, which would then evolve into Me, I Am Mariah, The Elusive Chanteuse. It really was a start to a pretty messy era, but she wrote it with good intentions. It just wasn't meant to be. Nick's kidneys were failing, Whitney Houston had just died, so it was like an outlet for her to encourage herself to keep going. She performed it once and wore like a similar ensemble to what Whitney wore in Cinderella, cape and all.
Hmm.
I don't know if it was on purpose, but it definitely gave Fairy Godmother.
Interesting. I could have seen this one on the radio, actually.
I remember when this song came out, actually. I was living on my own for the first time. I had 3 roommates in this tiny little cottage, and we played the shit out of the Pulse Club remix to this song, and by we, I mean I. But one of them was a lamb with me, and the other two were indifferent, so it worked. It's really disappointing to me and my homegirls that this song didn't break through the Hot 100, but now that I think about it, it does make sense. Number 12 is another song from the Glitter soundtrack, Don't Stop. This one's way more fun than Never Too Far, though. We talked about it on our Glitter episode, actually. I like this song. It's fun. It makes me want a hot dog really bad. My grandma's potato salad or something.
What?
You know, family barbecue.
Okay. Okay. I could see this one also, like, I guess it makes sense that it's going from least favorite to most, because I do see the potential in this one more than some of the other ones. But again, it's a little breathy, and it kind of irritates me.
And honestly, she's barely in that song, too. It's a lot of features.
Yeah.
Well, number 11 on our countdown, Can't Take That Away. Mariah calls it her theme. See the parentheses? Mariah's theme. If it had been given its own release and promotional push, I really think it could have been a hit. Sony didn't want to give Mariah any help, though. She was already on her way out, you know? So the only reason this song didn't chart is because it was released as a double single with Crybaby. So technically only Crybaby claims the number 28 peak position, which is what it got.
Hmm.
The rules are unclear to me, and I don't really care to further understand it.
I was wondering if this song was released around the same time frame that Christina Aguilera was at her peak.
A little bit before.
It sounds like a Christina Aguilera song.
This song came out probably during the What a Girl Wants.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then Christina Aguilera kind of turned into what Mariah was kind of giving already.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only vibe I got from this song. So I could, like, I asked that because I could have seen it being popular and maybe it could have charted if it was around that same time frame.
Yeah, and I think if her record company would have put more
pushed
behind it. Yeah. It's funny because in opposing fashion, Mariah's song Migrate charted at number 92 without even being commercially released. Way to go, Migrate. She did perform it on SNL when she filled in for Janet Jackson, who got sick and couldn't do it. That's the first time she covered for Janet, the second being her role as Crystal, like we talked about. I can't believe we've never got a Mariah and Janet song, especially since Mariah's main collaborator for like the last 20 years was Janet's boyfriend for like 8 of those years. What a missed opportunity.
Why didn't they?
No idea.
Did they ever have like a...
They both have talked about it. Like oh, that'd be nice.
Like each other?
No.
No.
They've always been cool.
There's still time.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Jermaine told us that you're going to be doing a duet with Janet.
Jermaine keeps saying this, but Jermaine has got to call me and tell me about it.
I love Janet. Janet's wonderful.
So you would do it in a heartbeat? Yeah.
No, we would totally do it, but he's got to let me know because we got to write the song.
Getting back to the second half of our list, the top 10. We'll start with Mariah's 2002 cover of Def Leppard's Bring It On the Heartbreak. She did an excellent job with this cover. I remember seeing the video for this one on VH1's Top 20 Countdown at the time. I can't believe that it wouldn't have made the Hot 100. This was Mariah's Walking Through the Fire era, so no one was giving her anything, even if she deserved it.
Like rom-com background music to me.
I really feel like that would be great for this song.
That's what I got from it.
Like a Cameron Diaz movie.
Yeah, something.
Even though you know their history.
Oh, right. Oh my gosh.
Something with Ewan McGregor.
Who I thought was in that one movie with Mariah.
He was Dice.
The off-brand was...
DJ Dice.
Yeah.
So number 9 is going to be GTFO. I remember her announcing this single, and I was like, girl, are you serious? What in the Miley Cyrus kind of song title is that? And then I heard the song, and it was an automatic no for me. It took a minute before I could get into it, and now I actually like it. I get it. I understand. It's cute. It's whatever. It's for the hype. The Caution era was like a chase for a chance at another Einstein era. The Lambs know what I mean by that.
What are you talking about?
It's okay.
I don't know.
Just accept it.
Okay.
And it's like, I get trying to...
Oh, equals MC squared.
Yeah.
Ah, I got it.
It's like she was trying to make memeable content, if that makes any sense.
Mm.
And I made a meme with a clip from the music video that said something along the lines of, like, me when my boss asks me to get to work, and it's her saying, how about you get the fuck out? And she left an emoji, the laughing with tears one, and I creamed my corn on the spot.
I remember that happening.
Mm. You crack me up with all these memes.
That was a highlight.
Of my Instagram life.
Yeah.
Instagram career.
Yeah, I feel like her voice is more hidden in this song. It's more about, like, the beat and not her voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a little bit generic.
Oh, yeah, anybody could have done this song.
It's not very recognizable. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my main thing. Like, it could have been anyone. And I think Mariah's thing is that she stands out so much that people want a lot from her.
Yeah.
So when she, like, fades into the background, I don't think it's successful.
That's a really good point. And I think it may have almost even been a little calculated that way. Kind of to be, like, super passive aggressive. Like, really just get the fuck out. Number 8 is another song from Caution with a title that made my stomach hurt before I heard the actual song.
A no-no.
Parlez-vous français? I said no. Let me translate it. I said no.
No.
I do like the song, though. It's a bop. And hey, the 3-year anniversary of Caution is next week. Maybe we can do a review episode if you're up for it.
Yeah, best timing ever.
Hello. All the rumors hyped up the remix to this song like it was going to be the song of the century. There was a rumor Lil' Kim was going to feature because, hello, the song is written over Crush on You, Lil' Kim's second single.
Hmm.
That would have been so perfect to have her on it. They were going to do a 3-way with Cardi B. I could do without her. I don't really care about her.
What?
But I know, as much as I hate to admit it, having her on there would have definitely guaranteed a spot on the Hot 100.
I would have probably liked it more.
Well, it quickly fizzled out when the feature was revealed to be Stefflon Don. Can you tell me who that is? I'll wait.
I don't know who that is.
No idea.
So I know this was from the same album. And so, like, comparing Get the Fuck Out and A No-No, like, A No-No is more recognizable that it's her, but it feels like a watered-down version of her.
I think the whole Caution album is pretty much that vibe.
It just feels like, you're right, like, it makes sense now that you said she was doing it for, like, the effect, basically, mm-hmm. or doing it for the trend,
yeah.
or it feels like she didn't have as much heart in this, so it's okay. It sounds like that other song of hers, and I wanted you to tell me, because I need to know what song I thought it was. What is that song that's like that? She has a song that literally is like that. Like, it's almost identical. Like, no.
Oh, you're thinking of Touch My Body.
Okay.
Yes.
So when I heard A No-No, I thought, like, wow, she really recycled that, like, concept from the other song.
That's a reference to Mimi, referencing Mimi for Mimi.
Yeah.
I like it.
So I'm not mad at it, but.
No. So number 7 on our list goes to 1998's Sweetheart.
Baby, going one-on-one. My sweetheart.
This is another fluke for some bullshit charting rules at the time for its release. It got a ton of radio play, but something with Sony not officially releasing it in the United States disqualified it from the Hot 100. It's on Mariah's Number Ones album and was used as like the promo single for that, I guess. It's a cover, and obviously it's better than the original. I would love to see her include this in her set list. Like, even just a little snippet, just a sip. I think it would be cute mixed with like Say Something and Loverboy.
Who did she cover?
It's like an unknown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I loved this one. Like, I like this genre of Mariah a lot. My thought was like, I'm trying to think back to like growing up, what music I listened to. And like, I don't know why I didn't hear this along with TLC, Aaliyah. Like, why wasn't this...
Yeah, it should have been.
Like, raised up to that same level of, like, if it was on a playlist, it would have fit right in with all of those greats, too. I don't know, but I really liked this one. Do you see what I mean? Like, good. In that same category?
Yeah, totally. And speaking of another song that I can't believe that Mariah doesn't perform as, like, her finale at every concert is my choice for number 6, Butterfly. It's a hard one. The range is incredible, so I guess I understand why she doesn't perform it, but hello, just re-record it and do an updated version in a different key and lip sync it for us. We don't care, right, Beyonce?
I didn't like this one. I thought it sounded like a wedding dance song. That's how basic it sounded to me.
Butterfly could make me cry if I were in the right mood for it. You know what I mean?
No.
Well, you and I could sit here and listen to it right now and it would be fine, but let's just say I've been really going through it and then I happen upon this song, it's over.
I have a really hard time with some of, like, the type of music she produces. It doesn't matter how good the lyrics are or how good her voice is. I just don't like that type of music.
I think my thing is the equal feelings of, like, pain and relief in the lyrics. And then, like, the layering, though, of her, like, background vocals. It just does something to me.
I would, like, read it and appreciate the lyrics.
Right.
But I don't want to listen to it.
Well, the video is really cute, too. She's, like, running in a busted...
Butterfly suit?
No. She's, like, in a busted nightgown running through, like, a field with a horse and like a straw wig on. All right, so number 5 on our countdown of Mariah's singles that did not do well enough for whatever reason to chart on the Billboard Hot 100 goes to a song that I feel like I'm gonna get shit for having it this high on the list. But it's my list, and I like this song.
Top 5.
You Don't Know What to Do from 2014's Me, I Am Mariah, The Elusive Chanteuse.
Really liked this one. This was high up there for
me. Right? It's so good.
It's like funky, dancey, fun, cute.
And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm not really a ballad broad. I like a bop. I want to move. I want to shake, you know? And this is like a disco heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It gives Studio 54, like, who's offering me a bump after my turn on the roller skates? I'll tell you who. Everyone. They're all lining up, literally.
Shut up.
I could really go without the feature, though. His part can be cut out for me. There is a version without him, but it's not the one on the CD, and that's the version I have, so I just suffer through his verse, but it's worth it. It sucks that it had to be on the Curse of the Chanteuse album. No video was ever made, didn't chart. What a waste, because a little effort to back this would have been worth it. They didn't even use a new photo for the single cover. They just photoshopped her face from another picture onto the head of her body on the album cover.
No way.
Yep, and like zoomed in a little bit.
Wow.
I use the phrase her body loosely because I don't want to upset any cyborgs.
Go back to our album art review.
Yeah,
for that.
You know what we talked about, her legs.
They were so soft and smooth.
Those legs made a great song.
Has she ever done a Venus commercial?
She was the Gillette legs of a goddess.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like her whole body or no, just her legs? Legs.
There's like a 30-foot statue of just her legs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That makes complete sense.
Yep.
Wow.
Number 4 is Underneath the Stars, a true Mariah staple. This is one of her favorite songs she's ever done. And of course, it's another one that got pink socked by Sony. We covered this song and the rest of the Daydream album on episode 16. It was the first song she recorded for that album. I don't think I mentioned that in the episode, but I'll mention it now.
Again, like, I don't like the background music. Not my thing. This is that same sort of, like, I don't know. Like, she has multiple genres within her discography.
Right.
This is not it for me.
I like the little cackle, like it's playing on a record player.
That's not the problem. It's like the beat, the instrumental. Just kind of hate it, honestly. A lot of your favorites are my least favorites.
I know, that is crazy to me.
Like, I liked some of the ones.
Yeah, you did. You liked.
Lower on your list.
Yeah. Number 3 goes to Boy, I Need You, which is another one off of my second favorite Mariah album, Charm Bracelet. It's Mariah and Cameron, Kill a Cam. Mariah uses samples all the time. That's no secret or surprise. But what gets me about this song is that Cameron had literally just put out Oh Boy 6 months earlier, which is where Mariah got the Boy, I Need You, the beat. The part where the person's saying, boy. It's uh-huh. from a song that had just come out. So it makes sense that it wouldn't chart because that song peaked at number 4.
Okay.
So it's 6 months later, we don't want the same song again.
It's just okay.
I like it. It's cute.
It's just okay.
If you saw the video, you would understand. We'll have to do an episode on music videos.
I know. I want to see more of these visuals.
The music video for this is Tokyo Dream House.
Oh, that's cute. I think I'd have different opinions about my overall feeling of the songs watching it, but I don't, like, I think I definitely want to see some videos because I think visually I'll give more leeway.
Yeah. And we get Bianca in that.
Oh.
They do a car chase.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, we should do a music video.
But how many music videos does she have?
We'll have to break it up. She's got a lot.
Bigger than life yet, you know, kind of cutesy. It has a lot to do with my personality.
So number 2 on our list is a twofer. I couldn't put one before the other. It's not possible. I'd like to see you try. No lamb in all the land could choose between these two. The first song being Breakdown. And the second being The Roof. Both of these songs are on the Butterfly album, Mariah's first Emancipation. So obviously we already know why these didn't chart. Tommy, duh. If these two songs had been given the full backing that Sony had given Honey, they could have easily changed the public's perception of Mariah's soft, whitewashed image into a more realistic interpretation of who she really is, without jumping into a pool and taking her clothes off. And I'm in no way shading Honey. That was iconic and necessary for pop culture, American culture, gay. I'm just saying a lot of people thought that she was playing patty cake. The Roof and Breakdown are slapboxing.
I liked Breakdown. I don't know. It just was really, like, soothing but vibes. Fun to listen to. Yeah, it was a good one. And then The Roof, I instantly thought of that guy we talked about. Like, I knew exactly who it was about. That.
Derek Jeter.
Yes, I knew it was about him.
Yep.
It's fun. It has better beats than a lot of the other songs, but it's still very, like, early 90s dance feeling, which is just not my thing. I actually did see the music video for this one, though.
It's cute,
and she
right?
looks so cute.
I love
and,
the
like,
music video.
Yeah, so I did like that.
She actually serves like 142 looks between the two videos.
Wait, like actually?
No, but I mean, whatever. We're almost done here, so after this, head over to YouTube and watch the music video for Breakdown and The Roof. They're impeccable. It's perfection. No one did it like that before, and no one's done it since. The fact that our number one spot was unable to chart on the Hot 100 because of their rules against airplay-only singles not qualifying is such a disappointment on top of the already disappointing fact that it was an airplay-only single to begin with. Did they not think it would be successful? It was number two on the adult contemporary charts, so I don't know, but we will leave you with this. It's my all-time favorite Mariah song, and the number one on our countdown of Mariah's singles that didn't chart on the Billboard Hot 100 forever.
I can't believe this is your number one song that you think should have charted, and I can't believe this is your number one favorite all-time Mariah song. It sounds so mature to me. Like, she sounds like an old lady singing. I love you and I respect you, but I cannot understand this decision. It is so boring. Like, put me to sleep. Her voice, obviously, is, like, amazing, gorgeous.
That's what does it for me.
But no, I can't get past the actual music of it. Like, it's not my thing. Guys, sorry.
Well.
Is this, like, a crowd favorite? Is this, like, a Lamb, like, staple?
No.
Oh, well, just you.
Yeah, there's a few of us. We'll take a poll.
Is Forever a good song or not? Like, I just want to know a yes or no.
I think me and the people who answer yes could share a table at TGI Fridays.
Why
like,
there?
Like, that's how small.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, what?
You go to Chili's. I don't care. I'm open.
None of those restaurants are okay.
It's not like I said Applebee's.
They're all the same. Those are all the same.
Chili's is a stretch above.
No.
A watermelon margarita to go? Who else? Who else? Where? Tell me.
Oh,
exactly.
God. I get why it was on the adult contemporary. Let's just say that. Along with who? Celine Dion? Probably. Like, if you look at that year or that time, like, I bet you.
I will see
you. Celine Dion. I rest my case.
We'll come back next week, most likely for our album review of 2018's Caution. Right?
This will be fun.
Yeah.
Fun as in interesting.
Yeah. It's the last current thing we have Mariah's put out.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice.
I think it's going to be fun to review by the end of this year in anticipation for something new.
Yeah.
It's a good place to leave it off in 2021.
Well, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for spending your time with me.